Now, you've chosen a number of books for the antebellum era, which I'm no expert in. And they are all so interesting and so diverse, and a lot of them have to do with money.
Well, this was a money center par excellence. In fact, it was probably the second largest banking center in the country up to 1850, just behind Philadelphia. And probably more business paper was discounted here during that period.
Wow.
Than anywhere else.
And then, of course, there's the merchant's capital, New Orleans and the political economy of the 19th century South by Scott Marler.
That's another fine book. It's amazing it took so long to write that book.
Hmm.
There have been books on the cotton factors. These are the men. But that was for the South. And there was a dissertation that's never been published from Harvard about some of these merchants, but only up to about 1836 or so.
Mm-hmm.
He took the whole story, and he did a marvelous job.
And another book that you chose that I thought was such a fascinating book, is Notorious Woman, The Celebrated Case of Myra Clark Gaines by Elizabeth Alexander.
Right. You read that, it's a 19th century soap opera. And, you know, she claimed that she was a legitimate daughter of one of the big fixtures in this city, Daniel Clark, during the Spanish and early American period. Of course, being on the spot at the right time, the right place, as
right.
Dr. John said, he was able to engross a lot of property. He at one time owned almost all of Canal Street.
Sheesh.
And then when he died early, two of his kind of understudies, if you will, began to carve up that property. And this woman, Myra Clark, claimed that she was actually the legitimate daughter. And it's a kind of a Byzantine story, but this became a case that I think went up before the Supreme Court 17 times.
Right. One of the most important books is Soul by Soul, Life Inside the Antebellum Slave Market by Walter Johnson.
Yeah. You know, New Orleans was the central slave mart of America. And it was the place where most of the human labor, the enslaved people
right.
who built the Cotton Kingdom and also built out the Sugar Bowl, were processed through. More enslaved people were sold in the slave marts of New Orleans than came to the United States, what's now the United States, from Africa during the heyday of the Atlantic slave trade.
Wow.
We're talking, you know, maybe 400,000 people.
Oh, wow.
And it wasn't hidden. It was hidden in plain sight.
Mm-hmm.
And it became the financial sinews of this great banking sector. A lot of the transactions were collateralized not with land, but with slaves and enslaved people. The thing that is distinctive about Walter's book, and it's quite frankly a brilliant, brilliant book, is it's this kind of discursive way he looks at the story. It's not just the finances of it. It's the way in which people kind of make themselves by taking pride in how they can evaluate black flesh or black volume. You know, it's as though people like stock pickers almost. And so they think of themselves as masters of the universe because they know how to, you know, read the bond market. And these folks, I think, have kind of inflated view of themselves by their putative skill in, you know, reading black bodies.
Oh, what a book that was. Oh. We've been talking with Tulane University Professor Emeritus Larry Powell about New Orleans history books for the Tricentennial Reading List. For the ever-growing Tricentennial Reading List and other episodes, check out WWNO.org. The Reading Live Tricentennial Reading List is sponsored by the Hellis Foundation, the John Burton Harter Trust, and the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities.